that our ears would be open to hear what you are saying, our eyes, our spiritual eyes, would see what you're doing. And that we would make the decision to agree with you, to join with you. To see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In our city and in this state and in this nation as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you for providing healing for us, that it is a finished work of the cross. Just as much as eternal salvation is, forgiveness of sins, that Jesus died to make us whole and complete. For us to enter into the shalom of God. Lord, for your blood. Bless the Lord.
It covers a nation. It covers a people. It cleanses and washes away the stain. It declares freedom. It declares unity. It declares citizenship in heaven. Still alive. It is still speaking. It is still powerful. It is still removing. It is still declaring. righteousness of the Son of God.
Y'all could be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, thank you. Well, good morning. How many of you like the time change? Oh, you like that? I've had a lot of time changes lately. Everybody sleep well last night? Sleep good? Three of you slept well? It's good. Well, may tonight be a better night's sleep for you. Well, we finished our first week into the eight-week Bible reading plan, Kansas City Bible Experience, Community Bible Experience. How many of you are engaged in that? You know, this is just a tool to help people get engaged in the Scriptures. It's important to be engaged in the Scripture, isn't it? Get understanding, revelation. So I encourage you, if you're not and you would like to be, you can start at any time. We started on Monday, but you are more than welcome to start any time and to get engaged and read the Scripture and get through the New Testament in 8 weeks, 40 days. Is anybody finding that a challenge? 10 pages a day? A little bit, kind of. Is everybody still awake? Let's do some jumping jacks. Will everybody stand up? I'm just kidding. Want to do any jumping jacks? Some stretching? How about we all just go to lunch or something? You want to do that? Some coffee? Bring some coffee in? Well, I'm going to kind of finish up a little bit. I didn't expect this topic of healing to go as long as it has. I was just going to share 1 week. But I feel like we'll talk a little bit more today about healing and I'll review some of the things that we've already talked about in that and share a few more things. There's so much to talk about when it comes to healing, physical healing that God has provided, Jesus provided on the cross. And we really need to get this in our heart that healing for us was provided. It's a finished work of the cross. Just as much as salvation. I think I can get a little bit better response on that. Healing is a finished work of the cross, just as much as salvation is. And I'm going to talk just a little bit about salvation. That's another word that we could probably spend a couple weeks on easily because it's a huge word. But this year obviously is the year 5777. It is the year of the sword. Some are calling it the year of the clashing sword, the year of the ruling sword. But generally speaking, it's the year of the sword. the year of the Word. It is important, so important, that we get the Word on the inside of us, that we understand, we get revelation on the Word. It is the Word that came, became flesh, and dwelt among us. It is knowing the truth of the Word that's going to set us free. And the truth is not just a concept, the truth is a person, and it is Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, man shall not live on bread alone, by just food that we're eating, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the word is so very, very important. Hosea 4:6 says that God's saying, prophesying, that my people perish for a lack of what? Enough food? No, knowledge. Is it just scientific knowledge, mathematical knowledge? Is it just learning social studies and learning knowledge of the Word of God, the Word of God, and who God says that we are? Do you know that you, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been born again, that you're a child. You're a child with inheritance. You're a child with rights. You're a child with privileges. You have things that belong to you that the enemy wants to keep you from understanding and knowing. He's trying to steal from you because he said, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to do what? Steal from you, kill you, and destroy. And when he is stealing, robbing us from what God has provided from us, he's stealing from us and keeping us in a place that God never intended. So we need to see that healing, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, wholeness for our body, the shalom, what Isaiah 53:4 and 5 says, that is a finished work of the cross. Which means God doesn't need to come and do anything else. Let me ask you a question. If salvation, eternal salvation, is a finished work of the cross, does God have to do something else? So why do we think that God has to do something else? If healing is really a finished work of the cross, why do we believe then that God has to do something else for our healing? Taught us wrong belief. Maybe our experiences, because we've seen so many people healed. We've seen, Elisha did many miracles and he got sick. Paul got sick. Getting sick is not a sin. What's that?
Lack of faith.
We'll talk a little bit about that this morning as well. But I want to challenge you with something, and I've been putting this challenge out. What do you really believe? And then that's not only as important as why do you believe what you believe. What do you believe? Not even, let's go on beyond healing. What do you really believe? And then why do you believe what you really believe? I found with myself, I believed in things that had no basis in truth. It was just something I believed. Whether it was emotion, a feeling, an experience, something I just grew up with, and I kind of compiled a bunch of my own thoughts, feelings, experiences, and came up with some kind of a belief system. But as a people of God, we have been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We belong to a whole new king and a whole new kingdom, a whole different way of living and different things that are provided for us. So do our beliefs line up with what the Word of God says? Here's something I haven't mentioned yet. I did on a Wednesday. And speaking about healing, because this is very important as well. And I'm not going to talk about it today, but I'm going to throw it out as a question. What do you believe about the sovereignty of God? You don't answer. I just want you to think about that. Maybe write it down. Maybe contemplate that. Find out what do you believe about the sovereignty of God? It's interesting, the different belief systems within Christianity about the sovereignty of God. And the sovereignty of God, our belief, is a basis for how we pray, how we act, what we pray about, what we walk in. So it's important. So what do you believe about the sovereignty of God? This is really all review. I'm just saying things in a little bit different way. But are we more inclined to put our trust and belief in our personal experiences than what the Word of God says? Now, it has been, here's the word experience, my experience, with myself and with others, that we tend to put a lot of our trust in our experiences and our emotional responses to things more so than the Word and what the Word of God says. And I'm going to talk a little bit about emotions, not today, but maybe next week, because the Bible does say many places that Jesus was moved with compassion when he healed. And so we need to talk about that as well and kind of understand that. But so are we susceptible to being led more by emotions? And when I say emotions, I'm talking about feelings, how we feel about something. I know, you know, in the past, when I've read a scripture that I didn't really like, that hit me hard in my heart, my emotional response was to reject it and or to try to make it say something else. Does anybody else ever do that? In Matthew 25:14, Jesus tells a parable about three servants that he gave talents to. The first one he gave five, the second one two, and the third one he gave one. Everybody's pretty familiar with that parable, right? So when the master comes back, he settles up account, and the first one multiplied, doubled his, the second one doubled his, but the third one. Matter of fact, I want to just read what the third one responded with. And that's in Matthew 25. 14 is where it begins. But verse 22, it says, also the one who had received the two talents came and said, Master, you entrusted two talents to me. See, I have gained two more. His master said, well done, good and faithful. Faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of my master. Verse 24, and the one who received the one talent came and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, I knew you to be a hard man. I knew you to be a harsh man. What is our concept of who God really is? What do we believe about the character and nature of God? I mean, we sang a song this morning that he's a good, good father. It's easy to say words, but do we believe that he's really a good father? Well, this servant knew that his master was harsh. He had a different perspective. I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. I was afraid. His perspective on his master of being harsh and being a hard man, his false impression, understanding, caused him to fear and not respond, and to not be faithful, and to not put faith and trust in the Lord. So what do we believe about the sovereignty of God? What do we believe about the character and nature of God? And do we really believe, after the last couple weeks specifically, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 18, 1 Peter 2, 24, let every fact be established by two or three witnesses, just gave you three, there's many more, that healing is a finished work of the cross, and just like salvation, there's nothing more. Jesus on the cross said this, it's finished. He didn't say it's finished, but. He didn't say most of it's finished. It's finished. So does God need to do something else? And so therefore, if we are approaching God like he needs to do something else, do we really understand that it's already a finished work on the cross? Is this making sense, or is it? Which leads me to another word, and it's the word salvation. Now, typically what we have done so much within church settings is we have talked about salvation in the context of being saved from our sin and saved from hell, we have salvation. We even say often that I'm saved or we're saved, meaning that we are saved from sin and we're going to be with the Lord in heaven forever and ever. But salvation means much more than that. And we have focused so much on just that aspect of it, which is another reason, not the only, but another reason I believe that with healing we kind of struggle with sometimes. Because Jesus, 18 different times that he healed in the gospel, he used that word, save, or saved. It's not always translated in English, that word. Because part of the definition of salvation is healing. Are you still awake? Salvation means deliverance, preservation, safety, and curing from illness. There's other descriptive words for that. In Romans 1, Chapter 1, verse 16. Where is Romans? Is that in the New Testament? The Apostle Paul saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone. Period. Is that what your Bible says? If it does, you need to get a new one. Because I stopped just to see if you were still awake. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. You know, there were some times that Jesus did say, go, for your faith has made you whole. Or your faith has saved you. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation. There are many things that we need salvation from, and those things are provided by the cross. Have I said that enough that we And let me say this too. We are not going to grasp revelation on healing, physical, emotional, mental, by me or somebody else just preaching it. We're going to have to get revelation. This is something the enemy is wanting to keep and is doing a pretty good job at keeping people from grasping and understanding. But we may have to wrestle with some of these things ourselves and what we've always believed, what we've been taught. The Lord began creation with us being whole. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. You read the end of the book, and it's going to end up with people being whole. It was at the beginning God's will. It is God's will now because he made provision for it. And it's his will for all of eternity that human beings be whole, be well, be saved, come into a salvation for healing in every aspect of our life. We talked a little bit last week, and I hope you consider this too because it's extremely important. That Adam and Eve did not commit murder, they did not commit adultery, they did not commit homosexual act. They ate something they shouldn't have eaten that led to the curse. The top three sicknesses and illnesses on CDC's website, and I don't think they've got diabetes up there yet because that's something brand new. It moved from seventh place. But the top three, do everybody remember what the first one was? Heart disease. And the aspect of heart disease, the number one aspect, it was hardening of the arteries or clogged arteries. Does everybody remember the number two? Cancer. Number three is now diabetes. All of these are food-related. Cancer is not strictly food-related. But there is relation to food. Isn't that interesting? That Adam and Eve ate something, the physical act of eating something that caused them to die. I think we've missed that. I really do. Because most of us just, we drink all kinds of stuff, eat all kinds of stuff. Some of our healing, matter of fact, I understand that diabetes, even for the most part, if you catch it early enough, you can correct it with your diet. Some people take better care of their cars and their cell phone than they do their bodies. And we wonder why we're sick. My truck is designed to run on gas, not diesel. I could put whatever else I want in there besides gas, and it is going to die. And I'm going to have problems. And the same thing with our bodies. God didn't put a whole bunch of dietary laws in there for strict, lawful duty to constrict us. There is some purpose in those things. And it's just interesting to me. Like I mentioned last week, you know, my family being Lebanese, Middle Eastern, that we celebrate eating. We pat each other on the back when we're so full and we can't walk and, you know, that kind of stuff. But we do that a lot in our own culture. I love food. I really think food loves me too. And I'm blessed with liking all types of food except innards. I do not eat any innard of any animal. Meat is as far innard as I go. Let's read these verses again so we get this word down deep in our heart. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely our griefs. That word grief there means illness, sickness, and disease. Surely our illnesses, sicknesses, and diseases he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried away. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being, our shalom upon him. And by his scourging, we are still sick. I think a lot of Christians read that right in there somehow. And like the Lord has really corrected me on the statement, well, we all have to die of something. It's interesting how some of these false beliefs kind of come in there. All meaning, we all have to die of something, meaning that eventually we're all going to get sick or contract something and die from. Although that's true, the Bible doesn't say that. So I personally am not going to believe that for myself. I know Marie's not. She's going to live to like 580 years old. Matthew, he just re-says what Isaiah said. Jesus took our infirmities and he carried away. I love that. He carried away our what? Diseases. First Peter 2:24. Each of us is going to have to make the decision of what are we going to believe. What are we going to believe? Are we going to believe His Word? The power of agreement is so powerful. It's so powerful that when we agree with what God says. You know, confession is also powerful, but when we confess, confession means to say the same thing as God says. So what are we doing? We are coming into agreement with what God says. But we can also come into agreement with what the enemy says. We can also come into agreement with what our feelings are saying, our emotions, our experiences, what we're going by, we're seeing around us. I mean, would we even say that because so many people are dying and go to hell that salvation isn't true or real? But because so many people see other Christians and people that love God, I'm not bringing any condemnation. We all get sick. Our bodies are still susceptible to sickness, to illness, diseases, and it's not a sin to get sick. But God's made provision. Just like the only enemy that is not under the feet of Jesus, the only enemy we need to get that is physical death. But too often we relate physical death with sickness and illness. Or we relate suffering, trials and persecutions with sickness and diseases. Well, the Bible doesn't do that. Sickness, illness, and a disease is a trial. But let's line up with what the Word of God says. And there are martyrs. There are some people that are going to die early. Jesus died early. Death is the only enemy, which also means sickness and illness, there's already provision for it. And even within death, God provided provision. Provided provision? Made provision. I butcher the English language, I know. What's the provision God made even in death? That all those who put their trust in Him, become born again, will be resurrected. Just like He was resurrected and will live forever with Him. You guys are quiet. Is everybody all right? God will allow you to keep your poverty mindset if you want to. He will allow you to keep your sickness if you want. He will allow you to keep your illness. He will allow you to keep your disease if you want. But He's made provision for all of it. He's made provision for all of it. Turn to Luke chapter 18, if you would, please. Is that in the Old Testament, New Testament? Where's that at? Luke. Matter of fact, that was our whole first week of reading, right? The book of Luke. Luke 18. In verse 35. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Where was Jesus going? And what was happening? Was there a man? He was sitting. He was doing what? What was he begging for? Does anybody know? Yeah, food, money. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. What kind of man was begging? What does blind mean? Can't see. These aren't trick questions. See, they're real easy. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was, and he was told, they told him, that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more. I kind of like this guy already. He's going a little bit against the crowd. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him. Okay, now get this in this picture in your mind. Jesus is walking, he enters Jericho, and he's passing by. The Bible says he's passing by, and there's a blind man. He can't see, and he's begging. Money, food, probably money, but whatever he can get. He hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth, so he calls out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who are leading the way try to quiet this guy, and he calls out all the more. Jesus stops. And he didn't go to the blind man. He commanded that the blind man be brought to him. Now, most likely, somebody had to lead him because he couldn't see. Most likely, it's real obvious this guy's blind. Right? And Jesus says, remember, he was begging. He called out to God and said, have mercy on me. What does that mean? And Jesus, he did this too with a couple other occasions. What do you want me to do for you? The guy's blind. He went after his healing. And Jesus, even when he talked to him, he goes, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? Now, this is all assumption. What if he just said, I need some money? I need some food. I need a place to live. And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. I really think this is powerful. I want to see again. That's where he placed his faith. He was begging, but he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. And he didn't let anybody stop him from calling out. Because he wanted more than just food, he wanted more than just money. Sad to say, there are some people I've come across that are benefiting from their sickness or their illness, and therefore they don't have faith to get healed. Thank God that we have funds in this nation to help people. But sometimes, if we are depending on government assistance or whatever it might be, and we have to be sick to get it. And then actually, we all know and heard the news reports of those that are out there getting sick and hurting, you know, saying that they're hurt to get those funds. Because his career of begging is about to be over. His free handouts are coming to an end if he is to get healed. Because he was depending on his blindness, basically, to get to beg. Now he may have to find a job. Be a preacher, yeah. I love what Jesus says. He's blind, but Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? You let that really sink into your heart. I really do believe that the Lord would allow him to stay blind if he wanted to stay blind. Because it was dependent on his answer to Jesus' question of what he was going to receive. And he says, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. What does that mean? You know, when I first became a Christian and started going to church, I grew up Catholic, left that a long time ago, was born again at 20, and we started immediately going to what you would call charismatic type churches. And this was the early 80s, and so it was the height of that word of faith and the faith type of movement. Now, whether I was taught it or just learned it incorrectly or just perceived it differently, I know this. I learned a perverted faith. However I got it, I'm not going to blame anybody for it. And here's how I used to have a concept of faith. And the reason I'm saying this is because I believe that this is still a part of, in talking with different people, this is a start, a lot of their belief, that if I just believe hard enough, if I just convince myself somehow, I mean, I used to have my own little prayer sessions trying to convince myself. If I just believe it, and I would just work really hard and cast out every thought of doubt or unbelief. And then you had the whole confession thing that went along with this. That if I just said it right, Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So this led me to a condition that, especially in church circles, I didn't feel like I could ever tell somebody I was sick. Because two responses I would get nearly immediately: I didn't have enough faith, or I was in sin. Some of you are shaking your head, so you understand what I'm saying. Faith is not taking so much control of your mind to remove all doubt and convince yourself by mind over matter to believe what God said. That's not what faith is. Faith is simply trusting and having confidence in God. Abraham is our great example. The Bible tells us that in hope against hope, he believed God. What does that mean? In a natural hope, I'm too old, Sarah's too old, this cannot happen in the natural. But I have hope in what God said that supersedes my natural condition, that I will have what he said. I don't have to convince myself. See, if I'm not feeling well and I'm sick, and I say, "Hey, Cindy, I'm sick, would you pray for me?" That's not a lack of faith. Actually, that can be an exercise of faith. But if I'm sick and I say, "Oh, I'm not sick," you know, my eyes are all red, and, you know, snot's coming out of my nose, I'm sneezing, I'm coughing, "I'm not sick. Nope, I am the healed of the Lord, I'm not sick." You know what you're actually doing? You're actually lying. There's nothing wrong with saying, "Hey, I'm sick," or "I've been diagnosed with this," or "the doctor's telling me that," or that's not a lack of faith. Faith is having trust and confidence in God. This man, this blind man, put his trust. He heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. And he put his trust in the Lord to receive healing, not just to receive money. I think we settle for much less than what God has already provided for us. For a number of reasons, maybe we just don't feel like we're worthy enough, or we deserve it because of how we acted last night, or whatever it might be. I'm so glad God doesn't judge us by our behavior all the time. We would be up, down, in, out. I'd be a complete mess. I'd probably be a smoking hole in the ground. God looks beyond the behavior. He doesn't love us for our behavior. Thank God. None of us would have been saved. Jesus wouldn't have come and died for that. But faith is just having trust and confidence that the Word of God is true. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, 1 Peter 2, 24, Matthew 18, Acts 10, on and on. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the enemy. Understanding the character and nature of God. Well, God is allowing me to be sick, or however we want to work. God's putting sick on me to teach me something? We have all of these perverted, twisted things that we can't validate by word. But we validate them by our own experiences and our own belief systems and false teachings and all of these kinds of things. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Here's the perfect example of how grace and faith, how faith works. We are saved by what? Grace, the enabling power of God. We are healed by how? The enabling power of God. We are set free how? By grace, his enabling power of God. But how does that grace come? It comes through faith. It comes through faith. We don't receive anything really from God without faith. Faith is that currency of the kingdom. When God says, "Trust me," and I trust him, I connect that faith pipeline to him where grace now flows and enables me to do things I cannot do on my own. Enables me to be healed, set free, and receive salvation. Is this making sense? Okay. I want to open this up a little bit for some questions. And I just want to go over a few more little things, just kind of hit some things line by line. I hope what we've talked about has been good. It's been helpful. My main thing is I want to increase our faith level and trust the Lord. Because it's not a question. It should not be a question in anybody's mind here anymore of whether God heals, because he's already provided that healing for us. The healing access has been provided. It's all a matter of how does he want us to be healed? What is he saying to us? We're in a relationship with him. It's not put your quarter in and you get this, or put your dollar bill in this machine and you pull that lever and you get it like this. It's a relationship that's based on trust, that's based on confidence in him, that's based on love, that's based on communication, learning to talk, learning to hear what he's saying to us. Why do we get sick? There's all kinds of reasons, right? We get sick because a curse has been released in the earth. If I'm next to somebody that's got some germ or a cold or something, and that I could receive in my body something that came from somebody else. But God's made provision for that. We get sick because there's a curse that operates in the world. There's such things as generational curses. There are sicknesses, illnesses, and things that happen in family lines that can be broken by the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. I think just understanding, you know, when I came into a revelation of identity, of who I really am, and that God's blood really does flow in my veins, that his DNA is on in me, that I've had a father change, that he really, you know, that propelled me to break every generational curse. That's why I talk about identity so much. Because we're being robbed at the point of our identity, of who God says that we are and what belongs to us. Our bodies are susceptible to sicknesses. And yes, unconfessed sin can lead to a sickness or an illness, especially bitterness and unforgiveness. It can. I mean, the world knows that. It can, but it doesn't mean every time we're sick or something happens that it was my personal sin. There's sin that's out there because of the curse. Demonic activity. We could talk a lot about that too. There's demonic activity that's making people sick. How do I know that? Because Jesus, many times, he cast out a demon and the person got well. There's demons that possess and there's demons that oppress. Our diet. We hit that one again. Can make us sick. And I'm including the things that we drink. Using toxic substances, cleaning things, and working with different toxic substances can make us sick. You know what the Lord will do if that's the case? He will show you what it is so you can remove it. If it's a diet, he will show you what it is. You know, some people really can't have caffeine. I can. I hope that I can for the rest of my life. Especially in the form of coffee. But some people can't eat certain things. They make them sick. They have, you know, even food poisoning can make you sick. Pollution in the air, eating tainted food. Here's another one. Let's hit this one. Lack of exercise. Lack of sleep. That's a good one. I didn't write that one down, but that's a really good one. Yeah, I had a lack of sleep. I was up till 2 a.m. last night. I don't know why. But I feel good today. I do right now. Once this is over, I'm caffeine. Yeah. Yeah. Here's something I really haven't talked a lot about, but I just want to throw this out. We can't really go, or let me put it in the form of a question. Why can we not really look at Old Testament healing and validate that to New Testament healing? Healings have happened. Because healing was a finished work of the cross. It was a finished work of the cross. Now, people were healed in the Old Testament, but it's different now in the New Testament. Do, 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 do. We didn't look at this, but this is really powerful. Jesus, the Bible specifically says, Jesus gave his disciples the power to heal. When we don't understand our identity, we don't understand what belongs to us. If we don't understand what belongs to us, we don't walk in it. Here's a couple things that are so important about healing. I've talked about them in the past, but just throwing some things out there. Jesus never healed a minor child without the permission of the parent. Authority functions in the kingdom, and we have to work and function within authority. He never healed a minor child without the authority of the parent. He never healed a slave without the permission of the owner. When Jesus went into his own hometown, in Luke's version, it says specifically that Jesus could not do any miracles. Not that he chose not to. My discussion with this other pastor friend of mine read it that way. That he chose not to. No, it doesn't say he chose not to. He could not. Why could he not? It was unbelief that was precipitated by what? Yeah, they wouldn't hear him. Yeah, they wouldn't listen to him because he was just the guy in our own hometown. He was a normal, I got to use a different name than Joe. He was a normal Sam, you know. He was just Jesus. He was the carpenter's son. Who is this guy? His mothers and brothers, who does he think he is? A lack of honor. Honor is a huge key of the kingdom. Huge. This is one reason I'm totally convinced of this, of why we don't see the healings and miracles in our midst, not just here, I'm talking about in the United States, because of this one key of the lack of honor. And a lack of honor shut the door for Jesus to be able to perform miracles and healing. It said he healed a few sickly people. This is another reason why you see when a guest minister comes from out of town and you start seeing healings and miracles, they function because the people receive him with honor. Jesus gave this kingdom principle. Receive a good man in the name of a good man, and you receive what? What that good man has. You receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will receive what that prophet has. You receive it, let me bring some definition. You receive a prophet just like a good man, you're going to receive what the good man, you're not going to receive the whole prophet. We have such a lack of honor, and this is what, it really opened my eyes in India. India is, with all of its issues, it's like huge, over the chart on honoring society. And how they honored us coming. I mean, we're the ones that should be honoring them for their walk and what they're doing. How they honored, which opens up the door. And they're walking in miracles and signs and wonders like nobody's business over there. Now, I'm not saying it's only because of honor, but I'm saying honor is a huge part of it. Remember the centurion that really grasped Jesus? I mean, one translation of the Gospels, I don't remember which, said the centurion just sent somebody else to talk for him. But the centurion comes and says, Jesus, would you heal my servant? And then he says, but all you have to do is say a word. He honored him. He honored his position. And he knew that if Jesus said a word, just like himself, because he was a centurion, he had 100 men under him, but he also had men over him. And he knew that when he spoke, that the Roman government backed his word because of his position. See, people that are of authority, it's easier for them to see other people who have authority. And he says, all you have to do is say the word because I recognize authority. Because all I have to do is say a word. I don't have to be where my guys are. If I just send an order, they got to do it. And I know that if you say the word, the servant's going to be healed. And what did Jesus say? He marveled. I've never seen such what? Great faith. Did that centurion, oh, I just believe it enough. I just convince myself and remove all doubt and get my confession. No. I trust you. And I know that if you say the word, that's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen. Faith is so much easier than we make it. It's not about how much faith. Jesus said if you just have a mustard seed faith, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted. What does that mean? That I have the power? No, when I hear God speak to me and say, you speak to that mulberry tree and cause it, that then I do it because God said it. That's faith. And guess what's going to happen to that mulberry tree? Or if I have that, I can move a mountain. I can't do it. We can't do it in and of ourselves because we're some super Christian. But when we hear what God is saying to us and we just say what he says, or we see what he's doing, he shows us something to do, and we do what he's showing, it has just as much a power and authority as if he did it himself. Because we are his ambassadors. We represent the kingdom of heaven on earth. But we can't go out in our own power and our own authority. I did mention that I was going to take just out, if anybody has questions, let's do that just before it is. Is there any questions or thoughts? Yeah, Diane. Yeah, if water has stuff floating there, I wouldn't drink it. But that's up to you. I'm a little picky about water and stuff. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Since she brought up water, you know you can go to the health food store and get a gallon of water for 39 cents. There's two health food stores, you know, Terra and what's the other one? Natural Grocers now. 39 cents a gallon. You can get water. You can get reverse osmosis, or distilled. Right over here is pure water. Theirs is a little higher, but their distilled is, it tastes great. But it's 70 cents a gallon that you can get purified water. You know, I didn't mention this about food and diet, but if you can't do anything else at all, drink water. Half your body weight in ounces a day. It's amazing how much, if you don't do that, it's amazing how much better you'll feel just by doing that alone. Our body is what? Is it 80%, 78%, 30%? I don't know, but it's mostly water. I know I used to have back issues the whole time. When I started drinking water, now I'm addicted to water. I carry a gallon of water in my truck. I'm drinking water all of the time. But your discs in your back are made up of mostly water. I used to have back issues all of the time. I still do have some issues with them, but that's nothing near what I used to have by just drinking more and more water. Any other questions on healing or from the word? Don't ask me too much about diet and food because I've already said all I know. You need to ask Renee or somebody else. Yeah.
I don't want to buy into the curse.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
And I think when you confess that by writing that, you
walk. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And you know, all of us too, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. What is God saying to us? We need to know that. It can't be just a cookie cutter. I mean, the word is very plain about certain things, but there's a lot of blank spaces, if you understand what I'm saying, that we have to work out our own salvation. There's a lot of things that are left out because it's dependent on our relationship. What is God saying? That could be something God is saying to Mark, but he may not be saying that to somebody else. He may tell you to, I have to quit bringing up the coffee thing because that might come back on me, but quit drinking coffee, but
He hasn't told me. See, we have to live according to the Word and our personal convictions. Is there any other questions about healing from the Word, some of the things we've talked about the last few weeks? Yes, Diane. Yeah, that would be a good health question too. Maybe who? Marie? You, can I? And maybe, too, maybe if you wouldn't mind, Marie, like talking with her a little bit afterwards, too. Anybody else have any scriptural healing type? Yeah. Right.
But you know that the desire of his own heart is have mercy on him, that gives you to go in.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's good. Yes, yeah, that's really good. You know, when I read that too, I always thought, like, how did he actually know, you know, he was the son of David? And the Bible doesn't say that. I mean, he could have gone to synagogue. He could have heard, I mean, who, you know, knowing a Messiah. But how did he know that? Yeah, that's really good. So how does this work? I know it's getting late. How am I going to get healed? If I have some kind of affliction. Uh-huh. So I
froze. Yeah. But I don't know what made me jump up. I can tell you how you do it. You just keep talking about it. And you do read them to yourself. Like, get down your spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You do. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right, right. Absolutely. I don't know if everybody heard her. She talks kind of soft. I should have gave her a microphone. But I just want to echo something that she said. in that it's just a repeat over and over. We have to get the Word of God in us. What is God saying? We have to get revelation on this. It's got to, when you get revelation, it's not that you just heard something. The only way I know how to really explain it is that when it becomes part of you. You know that you know because it's based on solid truth. Like you know your own name. You know where it's just the light came on and it's illumined on the inside of you. Yeah, Marie. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Seriously, take the Word of God seriously. Get in. I mean, like I said, we're just doing this Kansas City Bible reading thing. It's just a plan to help people get engaged with the Scripture and help your family, your children, all of that. Yes, Jay. Yes, I do. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, it was that affected every one of us. So what men do does affect us. What our politicians do affect us. What our parents do, what our everything people do does affect us. But as a big picture scheme, God has made provision for that. He has called us to live in a whole different kingdom on earth. So I don't believe that it's just we're walking around immune, because we're not going to be immune from illness, sickness. I believe that it's a relationship again, and God will tell us. For instance, stop eating fish from the Pacific Ocean, if he would say that. Which would mean what? If I don't stop eating fish, and I'm not saying that God is saying this, okay, I'm just, because he used the Fukushima thing, I'm just saying, yeah, if that's what God is saying, and then we eat it, we shouldn't be surprised if we get sick. So it's not that we have an immune bubble, but I do believe that God will lead us. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we are to live. I honestly think that's one of the big things that we miss, is that fluid relationship with the God, with the Lord. Because we haven't, and I say we, I'm talking about, because even from my past church experiences, wasn't taught real well about how to hear and recognize God's voice. We have the Word, which is for all people in all places at all times, but then we have specific guidance from the Spirit. How does the Spirit lead? How does God speak to me? How do I know it's God and it's not my feelings, my emotions, my own belief systems? This is extremely important as we go through life, because the Holy Spirit will be our leader, our guider. He is our teacher. He will lead us and guide us into all teachings of Christ. So that's a big topic, but maybe we can, we'll eventually talk about that. Did you have something, Bill? You know, I know it's really late, and I am bound by times too much sometimes, but what was I going to say? I'm going to mention this Wednesday too. I think it's important. The Bible's really plain that we do have an enemy. He does want to kill, steal, and destroy, but he's not our focus. Our focus is to be the Lord. You know, and so if our focus is the Lord, that affects the way we pray too. And so I am refusing to walk in fear with the things that are happening. Because fear will rob your faith. And you will get so focused on the wrong thing that you will miss what God is really doing and what he's saying. We need to behold. See, we become like the idol we behold. That's just the principle. Which means, what are you focused? You become, you know, if we're focused on all of the news and all of the negative stuff all of the time, but very little of the word, it's going to sap our faith. It's just going to happen. Playing video games all the time, but not really getting into the word and what is the Lord saying and hearing from God. And we do. We spend so much other time on so many other things. Is it any wonder why we have a problem hearing what God's saying, knowing what he's saying, leading us to do? Focusing on him because we're focused so much on other things. So, yeah, Matt.
My reaction to them all of a sudden was just fear. Like, we all three sitting in this room know exactly what this is. And they didn't have an answer. They had me do tests. And I left the doctor's office just almost crippled in fear. And I remember praying to God, and God said, I've given you specific direction today. You're going to walk that out. You're going to do it. And I was supposed to have a meeting with Joe. And the first call I wanted to make was to my wife and be like, I'm going insane here. And God's like, no, you're not going to do it. You're going to do what I've told you to do and walk this out today. And I did. And I kept pushing it. It was a reality that fear was present. It was there. And so to not acknowledge it is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have to acknowledge that it's there, but then you have to listen to the voice of the Lord that says, this is the reality I'm giving you.
Yeah.
Walk it out in spite of the
fear. Yes. Yes.
And
awesome.
So I did that. I followed the instruction, and it took 48 hours. But I got a phone call from the doctor, and he said, it's not that. And I firmly believe that to this day, if I had crippled to that fear, the diagnosis would have been totally different.
Yeah, that's awesome, Matt. So good.